Good Friday to you, or day before Friday, actually. We're getting 24 hours ahead of ourselves here on Perspectives. We're looking ahead to something that's coming up tomorrow that we'll tell you about in due course. But right now, it's time to open up the phone lines and the email machine and to hear from you on our topic of the day of Perspectives, a program in which you are always welcome to be part of the conversation, no matter where that may lead. It is 414-1234 with an 850 area code. Our local number, perspectives@wfsu.org is the email, and our Twitter account handle is @WFSUPerspective. You know, there are hundreds upon hundreds of miles of trails in North Florida alone, and even a casual glance around the greater Tallahassee area will reveal a multitude of trails, such as the Miccosukee and J. Alfred Greenways, the St. Mark's Trail, which lies atop the route once followed by, I believe, the state's first railroad, if I'm not mistaken. There's also the Lafayette Heritage Trail, the Goose Pond Trail, many, many more within a few hours' drive of the capital city. And now there is a soon-to-be-completed coastal trail that's already stirring up a lot of excitement. So today on Perspectives, we're going to be talking trails with a great group of folks who have been directly involved with the ongoing effort to make our region even more attractive to trail buffs than it already is. And let's run around the table here and meet them, going from my left, your right, as you look at the radio here, starting with Jack Ostrzesko with the Capital Region Transportation Planning Agency, head staffer for the group that spearheaded the effort on the Coastal Trail. Jack, good to see you, sir.
Good. Thanks for having me on today.
Yes, right next door to you, we have a gentleman by the name of Dale Allen, president of the Florida Greenways and Trails Foundation. Now, I think, Dale, weren't you the surveyor and developer of the Florida Trail that goes from the Suwannee to the Apalachicola?
I had that privilege.
How many miles is that?
Oh, it's almost 180.
That's a nice little hike, isn't it?
It's a good hike.
That is. Well, and thank you for your help in organizing this, Dale. Really appreciate it. Right next door to you, Cherie Keeler with Wakulla County, the lead staff member for the county on bicycle pedestrian mobility. You have been a busy lady, Cherie.
Yes, I have, and I've loved every minute of it. And thank you for having Wakulla County represented today.
Absolutely. Wouldn't be a party without you. We really appreciate you being part of the program today. Who else do we have here? How about John Sewell with Kimley Horn, lead transportation consultant for Capital City to the Sea Trails Project, of which that aforementioned coastal trail along U.S. 98 is a critical segment. So good to see you, John.
Good morning. It's a pleasure to be here.
And, of course, from our old friend at FDOT, Jim Wood with the Florida Department of Transportation, now chief planner with the Central Office of the Department of Transportation, but formerly Bureau Chief of Office of Greenways and Trails in DEP. How do you fit all that onto a business card there, Jim?
Try very hard. It's been an enjoyable career. Thank you, Tom, for having me.
Well, if we could start with you, since we're in your neighborhood here, Jim, how does the Florida Department of Transportation really get involved with trails? We don't think of FDOT in that context usually.
Well, the reality is DOT for years has been involved with trails because federal money comes through the department, going back multiple decades. But in recent years, and really kind of bringing some focus to things, is a new program that we'll probably talk a little bit more about, the Shared Use Non-Motorized Trail Program, SunTrail. And it's funding that the department helps to provide to communities and others to help put these trails together. And trails are an important part for us of the overall strategy for bike and pedestrian safety and providing active transportation for communities and for residents and visitors to the state. So it's a big part of what we do.
Yeah, so in keeping with this assemblage of folks that we have around this table here, it has to be a cooperative effort. It is just not one agency or organization that is responsible for our network of trails. It's got to be a collaborative kind of thing then.
Absolutely, and often I've been saying through the years is trails are partnership projects. They never typically happen under one agency or one organization. I mean, around this table is just one idea of that, where you have local, state, you'll have nonprofit organizations and even private sector developers and things like that that help put these projects together. So,
okay. Well, Dale Allen, how extensive is our network of trails, greenways, all that thing here in Florida? It's got to be massive.
Well, Florida's been working on this for about 30 years, and I have to compliment the Florida Department of Transportation. They were there from the very beginning. Most people don't realize that when the CSX abandoned the Tallahassee to St. Mark's Railroad corridor, the agency of government that purchased it was the Florida DOT, and it was developed by them as the first trail in Florida. So kind of this whole movement began up here in the Big Bend and has really progressed from there. Now I think there's over 600 miles of trail, some 60 to 70, Jim, trails all over the Florida, still in pieces. And the Sun Trails program that Jim referred to, its genius is it's going to start connecting those pieces together into a long-distance transportation network.
Yeah, well even here locally, I know, the last time that they had the open fun field day out at the J. Alford Greenway, that was one of the emphasis that the folks were talking mm-hmm. about. Just in the local area, trying to weave that network together. So conceivably, you could walk from like one end of Leon County down to the Wakulla County line and never have to cross a road.
Well, in my particular case, I live in the Southwood neighborhood, and I go up my back gate onto a neighborhood trail and ride all the way to St. Mark's without ever getting on the road. We're connected. You know, it's a 20-mile ride, and it's beautiful every inch of the way.
Okay, and we still have a few segments, I think, to go down here, the area that parallels that corridor along Collegetown and all that. I noticed that it's winding its way down along towards Lake Munson, and then that's going to interconnect and head on down to the coast.
Yeah, and the blueprint, Jack could probably talk more about than anyone here, but those two things are about to happen, and then that's why this show is so timely. The trail along the coast on US 98 should be open this summer. And then the trail connecting the downtown Capitol Cascade Park will connect to the St. Mark's Trail. So by summer's end, you could probably ride your bike from downtown Tallahassee all the way to the St. Mark's River and Crawfordville High School. Cherie, right?
I agree. Yeah, it will be ready, and we're excited about it.
Yeah, you talked about that too, Cherie, that maybe, and we know how iconoclastic some folks in Wakulla can be. There's a free spirit down there that you just got to love, but sometimes folks are a little bit, shall we say, resistant to change. Now, there seems to have been a greater acceptance of that whole coastal trail idea down there, right?
I agree. And what happens is I think, you know, it is change, and people don't know how that will impact their life. And then the next thing you know, you see them on the trail. Mm. You know, either the wife wants a bike or the kid wants a bike. And the next thing you know, it's become a family thing to do on the weekends or after work. So it brings people together as well, which is really exciting about it.
And I think there's someone who can attest to that as well, who is waiting on line one, an old friend of the station for sure, a former county commissioner for Wakulla County, a gentleman by the name of Dr. Howard Kessler. Hey, Doctor, how you doing?
I'm doing fine, Tom. Good to speak to you this morning.
It is so great to hear from you. So what do you think of all this trail stuff, huh?
Well, I'm loving it, as you know. I just wanted to just give a little perspective from Wakulla County's viewpoint. You know, that St. Mark's rails to trail was a great thing that happened. And it wasn't that long ago. It was certainly within the last, 15 to 16 years that some people started thinking about, well, why don't we have more of those, and why don't we connect them? And there was a meeting held in Panacea, and I believe it was someone from the National Forest that had this idea, the germination of the idea. And there were some citizens around the table with differing viewpoints. There were some that really wanted to see this thing happen. There were others that said, well, we don't need any people with Lycra suits on that don't have room for a wallet biking in Wakulla County. But the people that wanted the trail prevailed. I was there at that first meeting, and they all knew that it was going to take time. And little by little, things started to come together. And I had the opportunity and the privilege to be a county commissioner during a period of that time. And there was one of the citizens that had been pitching the bike trails, the through the Sop Choppy area, through other parts of Wakulla County. And with the government agency actually helping develop where these trails could go, there was a trail loop that was developed. And I ended up pitching it to Leon County and the CRTPA. And we had named it at that time the Capital City to the Sea Loop. And the vision was to be a couple of hundred miles, and including multiple counties. And, you know, that's a dream. And usually dreams take a long time to be fruitful. But this dream is happening. The trail segment from the Surf Road area of Wakulla County and Natchez Sands all the way over the Sop Choppy has been established. As your guests have pointed out, the route on 98 is just an incredibly fantastic piece that's going to add not only enjoyment and health benefits to all of our citizens, but will be an economic boon to the county as well. So I'm very, very happy that Wakulla County was out in front of this with the support of not only the county commissioners and the CRTPA and the state with the funding and the government agencies helping to develop the locations for these paths. You couldn't have asked for more. People really came together, and as it was said earlier in the program, it is not a one-person deal. It takes many people to make this bigger dream happen, and I'm so, so happy that it's taking place.
Former Wakulla County Commissioner Howard Kessler, thank you for your viewpoint and for your support of the entire trail project here in North Florida. And it's so good to hear from you, Howard. Thanks for checking in with us.
Thank you, Tom.
850-414-1234 is our number for Perspectives today, and we are talking about greenways and trails in our area. Do you have a particular favorite trail that you like to hike or bike or whatever? Why not give us a call and share that information with us? If you have any suggestions for a group of experts who are related to the Greenways and Trails Project, they're right here. Give us a call or drop us an email, perspectives@wfsu.org, and we'll be right back. Hiking down the Greenway here this morning on Perspectives, 850-414-1234. If you want to kick in here about your trail experience, because no matter where you go in this community, I am always amazed that if you have a trail, you're going to find people on it. There is a new little trail off of Call Street. You were talking, and we'll talk about the railroad here in a second, Dale, but that the city of Tallahassee recently opened. And it's between Call Street and the CSX main line. On a little compact, heavily wooded area, the city cut a trail in there. There are people galore there, you know, from essentially sunup to sundown. You're going to find folks and their dogs just hiking through that area, which is a pristine little green space in the heart of the city. But let's talk about that for a second, Dale Allen, the fact that without really our railroads, it would be a lot more difficult, if not impossible, to have what we have in the way of trails now.
Yeah, that's right, Tom. This whole opportunity presented itself in the 60s when the railroads started consolidating their ownerships and abandoning lots of segments of trails all over the United States. I think Wisconsin was the first state to actually purchase a piece called the El Roy to Sparta, and it just set off a tidal wave of interest everywhere, mostly grassroots all over the country. But right now, I think there's over 1,800 trails from converted railroad rights away into this. And what Florida's working on is taking advantage of a lot of that, of the proposed Sun Trail system. Jim, I would have to think that at least two-thirds of all those proposed segments are abandoned railroad corridors. Would that be close?
Well, it may be. I mean, they are so critical, so instrumental, and really they are the corridors that helped lay the foundation for this and now creates that vision to look at where we can connect those together in other places where maybe the railroad line doesn't exist, but we can work on creating those connected systems. So they have been so instrumental to the kind of the spine of that system and making it come together.
And Tom, one of the things that I know a lot of the elected officials I talk to about this is that once you secure these old railroad corridors, they're almost invaluable to the public for hundreds of other uses, for fiber optic corridors, for sewer line rights of way, water lines. I mean, corridors are a hard thing to come by in a very urban state like Florida. So keeping them intact and using them for recreational and transportation purposes makes eminently good sense.
Well, this is all speculation. We had talked a little bit about this off air, but with the impending sale of that between Jacksonville and Pensacola CSX main line there, the old Seaboard thing, if that is abandoned, does that then become something I don't know, Jim, that FDOT picks up on or becomes part of the transportation situation, Jack? Or how does that happen? Or does it happen?
Well, a lot of these projects, Tom, are driven locally, regionally, and then the state will work with those communities and regions to try to help put them together. So to answer your question, I think what it would be is, if there's an available abandoned corridor, is it something consistent with the planning? Is it something that's desired by the community to see, bring that together? And could that corridor be acquired? And then the Department of Environmental Protection also is another player in that and helping to acquire those properties. So, it's that whole partnership aspect of things and, whether or not a segment of it could be purchased to begin the process of bringing that into a trail status. So.
But before we go to Glenn on line two here, if I could ask you, Jack, just from the Capital Region Transportation Planning Agency, how do you guys coordinate all this? What's your function in saying, okay, well, here is a trail, here's how it needs to be developed, here's how it coordinates with the master transportation plan or multimodal plan or whatever you call it?
Sure. Well, we start off with a long-range plan that addresses multimodal activities, roads, sidewalks, bike lanes, and trails, mostly shared-use paths instead of, we got to just define trails and shared-use paths kind of separately. And then from our long-range plan, we go down to the details about where we want to see these shared-use paths and look at the opportunities that we've got there, and then we prioritize those and we move those forward. With the Capital City to the Sea Trails, we have a master plan that was completed in 2013. And so we have a set of plans that were, a guideline for a master plan. And from there, we took the coastal trail and from Lighthouse Road, actually, all the way down to Surf Road. And we started by looking at that through a project development and environment study. So that's the first step in getting our project underway.
And John Sewell, as far as Kimley Horn is concerned, you guys were part and parcel of that whole design aspect of it. How does this thing play out? How does it look? What amenities are there? That kind of thing?
Yeah, basically what happens is there's a process that we have to follow. And like Jim had mentioned, we really can't do anything programmatically, funding, acquisition, or anything until there's a plan. So Kimley Horn led the effort to complete the initial master plan for the Capital City to Sea Trails. And yes, it did identify a coastal trail as the number one priority of that, which enabled it to move forward very quickly. And I think really it was a testament to the citizens in the community, all of the agencies that came together. We were just the facilitators of that. We worked through the process, I would say, very rapidly. And then we had some bumps in the road along the way. There are some competing interests out there that some folks just didn't agree with everything, and so we had to work through that individually with some of those groups. But that's a part of the process. And then at the end of the day, we have consensus on a preferred route, a preferred way to go in terms of which trail should happen first. The great thing about the Capital City to Sea Trails, it's a collection of trails. And so the coastal trail is just the first of that collection to actually be built. And we think because of the success of St. Mark's, and we anticipate coastal will be adding on to that success, it will enable those additional trails to be built later and very quickly as well.
Oh, wow. Sherry Keeler, when's the grand ribbon cutting snip for this thing?
I'm going to, based on what I'm hearing from the CRPTA, it's going to be late June, and we will work together to make it successful. We had an initial ribbon cutting that was very successful for breaking ground, and we had quite a turnout, and we're really looking forward to another. Wakulla County, based on bike ped plans, we also have a bike ped plan, which we came up with in 2012, and an adopted infrastructure plan. And it lays out connecting trails in Wakulla County so that we have a vision of Wakulla County being a walkable county, not just a walkable community. Mm-hmm. So we have gone forward, and with the help of everybody at this table, gotten a lot more grants. And so we're looking forward to connecting Wakulla County to each one of the major trails, like the Capital City to the Sea Loop and the St. Mark's.
Oh, sounds like a party.
And Tom, if I may just jump into that, one of the things the Coastal Trail is really going to do, it's going to be highly visible from US 98 because it's right there on the north side of the highway for most of its route, whereas the St. Mark's Trail is pretty tucked back away. You know, most people can't see it if you're driving the Woodville Highway. I think once people start seeing this trail and discovering it, it's going to double the St. Mark's Trail. We're going to have close to 30 linear miles of trail all connected. And that is not even mentioning what else is about to happen on the northern end, the Blueprint Project at the Capitol Cascades Park. That whole linkage is just about done. It's going to be connected to the St. Mark's Trail, Jack, this summer?
Hopefully. I mean, then we'll certainly have another part of that component to make that the actual Capitol City to the Sea Trail.
Well, so, you know, within this summer, we could have a continuous trail from downtown Tallahassee all the way To Sop Choppy. It's amazing.
and I think that's actually one of the things I'm most looking forward to is I'd love to throw a tent in the back of my backpack and ride down to Sop Choppy and spend the night, spend some money down there, eat some pizza, and ride back the next day.
Uh-huh.
It'll be pretty cool.
Economic development. I can see it happening now.
I think that's what they call it.
Absolutely.
We had some input from Glenn. He had to drop off the line, but he and his wife like to bike the old Orchard Parkway. Mm-hmm. Which is one of our newer things. When they got the new Orchard Parkway in, that freed up the old right-of-way then for a trail. So,
well, and I think there's plans to even develop that further. That's going to be an exciting, beautiful, that's an old historic corridor through there. And then I also think that the Iwilani, Miccosukee Canopy Road Greenway, there's a proposal to extend it, I think, all the way around the plantation out there, all the way back in. That would be a 30-mile some odd loop, would it not?
It'll be a huge loop, yeah.
So we're really kind of back on the lead in terms of what's going on in the state of Florida.
Well, that's reassuring because I know, Jack, there had been some folks that, oh, my gosh, with the development of the Wilani Plantation thing, that was going to destroy the Miccosukee Greenway and no one would be able to get through there anymore. But you're saying, no, this is, in fact, going to enhance it.
Absolutely. It's supposed to be an enhancement of multimodal activity and getting people out and walk, ride, you know, walk your dog. I've seen so many people out there. It's on the Miccosukee Greenway on a Saturday or Sunday. Oh. It's just insane the number of people that are out there.
Hundreds, thousands.
Yeah, there are traffic jams on the Miccosukee Greenway. David joins us on line one. Thanks for your patience, David. Welcome.
Hello.
Yeah, go ahead, David.
I just wanted to comment. You're asking about favorites. My favorite is the Alford Greenway Piney Z connection. It's so much happens around water bodies in Florida, and it's an opportunity where the city and the county, I think, were able to cooperate, and that's one of my favorites, although this extension all the way down to Wakulla County is going to be outstanding.
Are you going to do the whole hike, do you think, David?
Just as soon as I get the opportunity and they tell me it's open.
Oh, speaking of that, we should also comment now that the Coastal Trail, as well as the Cascades Park extension, these are construction zones right now. And as much as we're all excited about this, these are active development areas, and people should refrain, at least until the trail is opened, going out there. It actually is slowing the projects down because they're getting people using the trails before they're officially open. So please be patient, public.
Well, John, you'd mentioned again the economic ramifications of this, but talking to who is now the head honchoette at Visit Tallahassee, Carrie Post, who used to be with Visit Florida, and full disclosure, we were both there together at the same time. The whole idea of nature-based tourism is huge in this area. Yes, this is a multi-million dollar economic impact. And how does this impending trail network play into that whole thing?
So yeah, it's absolutely going to play into it. From a economic development perspective and from a visitor's perspective, what you have is you'll have folks that will come to this area for ecotourism. The kayaking, the boating, fishing, hiking on the Florida Trail. What ends up happening, though, because of the bike trails, they'll actually end up extending their stay into a two-day stay or a three-day stay. What results from that is you have a lot of low-impact folks. You know, they're not impacting schools, libraries, police, and fire, but they come and they spend their money, and it ends up resulting in hotel nights. And that's where you really start to see the dollar start to escalate. You know, there's restaurant stays, gas, and so on. And so from an economic development perspective, it's huge. Now, the other kind of angle to this is, and I do this work all over the state of Florida and talk to a lot of folks that are using these trails. What ends up happening when you have a trail that is, say, 2 miles long, that's a draw for the local neighborhood around it and the surrounding area. When you have a trail that's 20 miles long, it then becomes a regional draw. There's folks that come from other states. Folks that are visiting to the area will bring their bikes. And then when you have a trail system that, as long as this trail system will be once Coastal's completed, it is going to be one of the longest ones in the southeastern United States, it actually could end up being a national or international draw to the area.
No question about that.
And people will actually come from northern states during the winter. They'll spend weeks at a time in this area. But yeah, it's going to be a huge impact to the region and to these two counties.
So we've talked with many business owners who've got roads in front of their businesses, restaurants, and trails behind them, and reports once the trail is established after about 5 years, as much as 50% of all their traffic is coming in off the trails, because it's easy to slow people down when you're on a bike. You see a restaurant, you want to stop, have something to drink, have something to eat, and keep going. So I think McCullough County is going to be very surprised at how big this trail is going to be to its local economy, and it's got the resources, the natural resources that are world class right now.
But Sheree Keeler, you've got an entire coastal region, which, with the problems connected with the commercial fishing and all of that, now could be rebuilt just based on that trail.
It does give an opportunity there that might not have otherwise existed. And like I say, we're looking forward to it. Because what we're trying to do, Wakulla County, is we're trying to make – we know we may not ever be the destination point like a Disney, but we are certainly a place that you can come to get away from your getaway. And so that's how – what we are. It's like you can come to Wakulla County on your way down south to or from Orlando, going to Pensacola. And it's a fabulous place to come for a weekend and get out, bike ride, hike, kayak, canoe, you know, all of those things. Great fresh from Florida seafood from the Gulf. It's there in Wakulla County. So we're hoping that people will come there to get away from their getaway. And so we see the economic impact that it will bring to our county, and we're looking forward to it.
Yeah, because there are a lot of folks who are looking for more, what do they call it, authentic places.
Right. Yes,
and not taking anything away from the Disney or Universal folks, but this is something that you cannot artificially create.
This is God-given.
Yeah. So, and you guys got it, and it's going to be absolutely terrific for those businesses that want to locate along that trail.
It is great, and two of our major hotels are along US 98, mm-hmm. which is where the Capital City to the Sea Loop are. So during football season and graduation, the hotels are always full, but we're like everybody else. We have our lull. So we see the bike trail enabling us to be able to keep the hotels full, and not only those two, but maybe – perhaps spur another hotel or boutique businesses or especially a bike shop. We could use a bike shop in Wakulla County.
One of the advantages these bike trails have over the ordinary hiking trail is the hiking trails in the summer heat usually are not heavily used. Whereas if you get a little shade over these bike trails, like the St. Mark's right now is almost canopied the whole way, it's used as much in the summer as it is any time of the year. So I think the trail in Wakulla County. Now, the big challenge, Tom, we're going to have, we've got to connect Wakulla Springs to this trail system. We've got to connect the St. Mark's Lighthouse to this trail system and the Bald Point. Once we start connecting our big natural features that have hotel destinations and restaurant facilities, people will come from all over the world to do this.
Okay. Do you have issues there with right-of-way acquisition, though? Because a lot of this stuff does go through private land. So how do you, convince the owners that, hey, it is in the public interest there for that? What do you think, John?
So, yeah, it's something you definitely have to work through on every one of these projects. But I would just like to throw another shout out to the Florida Department of Transportation, because what they did was they worked very closely with us, the project team, CRTPA. And what we did was we worked it out that we were going to build this trail in the state right away of US 98. Not only that, I'll even go a step further. What we did in the end was during the master planning process, we discovered that within that right away, there was a significant amount of tree coverage in a large portion of it. And rather than just have the trail out in the open sunlight, the department was very good about designing the trail as we had it in the concept plan from the master plan to meander through that tree coverage. Mm-hmm. It was a little bit of an extra cost, but the user experience at the end of the day will be much better. And I'd like to add one more thing just about kind of capturing that real Florida feel is we even went to the extent of having boardwalks along these estuaries such that you'll be able to ride along and the view shed from the road won't be impacted. And if you're riding the bike, it's a great way to see nature.
Yeah, literally taking the scenic route there. Listening to Perspectives on WFSU-FM, talking greenways and trails today. 850-414-1234 is our number. Ray and Marjorie, you hang on the line. You'll be first in line when the program resumes in just a moment. Hiking along the Great Florida Trail Network, which will at some point be totally interconnected, kind of like the interstate highway system, but
more fun.
A lot more fun and better exercise, too, that's for sure. Ray joins us online, too. Thanks for hanging on, Ray. Welcome to Perspectives.
Yes, my name is Ray Cade. I'm with the Florida Trail Association, and I wanted to thank you for this venue that you provided today. And Dale Allen is a wonderful wealth of knowledge and a longtime member of the Florida Trail Association. So hello to you, Dale.
Hey, Ray.
I wanted to call and share with the viewers that we're having our National Trails Day on June 2nd over at Eleanor Clapp Phipps Park this year. We pick a different park or greenway each June to celebrate National Trails Day. And that's what I was calling for. And this is a wonderful show that you have today, and you have some great people on your moderation staff that are talking. So thanks a lot, Tom.
Hey, thanks a lot, Ray. Well, give us a little bit of preview. What's going to be going on at Phipps Park there June 2nd for the celebration of Trails Day?
On National Trails Day at Eleanor Clapp Phipps Park, we are having a short and a long hike. So it's possibly for beginners or people who want to get involved in hiking or just really walking the trails. And then we'll have, so probably one for a 1 mile hike and another hike maybe 2 or 3 miles. And also we'll have our sponsor for our meetup out there. Trail and Ski will be out there debuting their products and their services. And we will also have somebody doing a children's activity. And anything oriented around Florida Trail Association activities.
Okay.
So both young and old.
Well, what time will that be going on the 2nd, Ray?
That starts at 9 o'clock on the first Saturday in June.
Okay.
And it goes till about noontime. We're trying to beat the heat, as we say in here in Florida, right?
A wise decision, sir. Thanks so much, Ray. We'll get that on our calendar, and we appreciate you letting us know about that coming up at the Eleanor Clapp Phipps Park, June 2nd, 9 until noon. This will be National Trails Day. I didn't even know there
Thank
was a National
much.
Trails Day. Thank you. Appreciate it. On line one, we interface with Marjorie Turnbull, former state representative, and so many other things in this community. Marjorie, how you doing?
Doing fine, Tom. Thank you so much. I just had two quick points to make. One, that Dale Allen played a major role in making the Miccosukee Greenway happen. I'm not sure it would have happened without his energy and influence, and so we have a lot to thank him for. The second thing is I've been involved with a group called Choose Tallahassee to make this area a retirement destination for all those boomers who are retiring now, and I will tell you that we have found that the outdoors, and especially these trails, are a major attractor to these group of retirees. So thank you for all you all are doing. It's a big help for us, and keep up the good work.
Well, thank you for calling, Marjorie. We appreciate that and for your continued involvement in just about everything that goes on in these parts here. Jack, let me ask you about Capital Region Transportation Planning Agency's agenda here moving forward. What's on the plan next? Where are you guys going with this whole multimodal, trying to get the different types of transportational options to function together as one cohesive whole?
It's not an easy task. The funding that comes in, and Jim knows this from the start, it's very glacial. So we're working 5 or 6 years out at identifying projects. So right now, our intention is to finish the Coastal Trail. We've got money in 2020 for right-of-way acquisition and then construction in 2020 as well for the segment from McCullough High School down to Tower Road. Or no, from Tower Road to Surf Road will be construction. Mm. And then we'll have construction of the final segment from McCullough High School to Tower Road through Panacea that'll begin in 2020. So we still have a little bit of ways to go with finishing that trail off. And in the meantime, we're identifying ways to get through and work with the National Forest to create another trail on the west side of Ocala County and west of Crawfordville Road. It may be something maybe not as identifiable as a paved source of activity, but we're trying to find a way to work with the National Forest to use roads, fire roads, to get to up to Trout Pond Trail, which is off of Spring Hill Road, and then work into Tallahassee via Capitol Circle and then through Lake Henrietta Park.
Okay, so that might be a little bit more like an Appalachian Trail kind of thingy there.
It'll have a very natural feel to it, and if you've ever been out there, you can hear yourself think for a long, long time. 25 to 30 miles worth of thinking, if that's what you want to do.
Okay. Well, that also means, though, that when you get into some of those more remote areas, then, is that a prime place for, again, this low-impact sort of development? Because you know, you're hiking along there, and you get more than 5 or 6 miles, and if, you know, you may have to replenish some supplies at some point, and we don't have a lot of options along some of these routes, right?
They're very rural in nature. I mean, yeah, and if you're in a national forest, I mean, that's where the GFNA trail was intended to go, along the rail line out there. And so we had to improvise, and again, we're still working with the Forest Service to identify a way to allow that to happen. And so, yeah, you're very much in a remote area, but at the same time, you'll hit civilization pretty quickly.
Those remote areas actually are one of the most interesting things when you actually get out there. I recall from some of our field visits out there, scratching up a car or two in the mm-hmm. shrub out there. We actually heard rumor from some of the old timers down in Wakulla County about a famous incident where a car got stuck on the railroad tracks out there a long time ago. And so we actually got some directions, some very rough directions, and sifted around out in the woods for a few hours on a hot day one day. And we actually found the wreckage of a 1926 mm-hmm. Overland car right where the railroad tracks yeah. were, and right where the car got hit by a train and some folks tragically were killed. We actually went back through the history books and found all of that information, and they were actually buried in a cemetery close by. But the interesting thing was it's right where the bike trail eventually will go through, and we see that being something that would be a really interesting point of
And John, after you brought that to a lot of people's attention, I actually met one of the descendants of those folks that still live in this area, and it's absolutely true, you know, that wreck did occur.
Yeah.
You know, but on your comment, Tom, Florida, this part of Florida is blessed with some unique natural attractions. I think the Bradbull Bay Wilderness Trail in the National Forest is one of the top 10 most challenging backpacking trails in the United States. And clearly, if you've not been out on the Osceola Sinks or down in the St. Mark's Refuge on the trails down there, they are absolutely world-class trails. But if you don't mind, I'd also like to just thank Marjorie for calling in, because she reminded me that none of this would have been possible without the support of our elected officials, especially our legislative leaders. I know Senator Monford and Representative Beshears and Osley, very big into the biking community and supportive of this. They see the benefits for the rural areas. And hopefully this next year we're going to be working with the legislature to see if we can find some more money to help local governments pick up and get more involved in this, because that's really the missing piece all over Florida is the rural governments who want these trails don't have the resources to really build and develop and don't have the resources to manage them. And I know the Department of Environmental Protection, which is our co-agency partner in all this effort, very committed now at the top leadership levels to make these trails a priority because they will bring people to Florida. Our state parks are our number one visitor attraction. I think it was 24, 25 million people came to Florida last year for our parks and trails, and trails is only going to double that number in the years to come.
Yeah, and our parks being multiple gold medal winners
gold
nationally.
Medal winners.
So, yeah. So there is a, and of course, we all know Representative Osley, she could knock off the coastal trail, what, in about an hour and a half?
Less than that.
Yeah, probably. But by the same token, with her legislative colleagues, they're all pretty much in concurrence, the recognition that statewide this is a very good thing.
Yes. Yes. Well, what's driving a lot of this, as people around this table know, is Florida has a terrible reputation for bicycles. We're the number one most dangerous state in America. We lead the nation in bicycle and pedestrian fatalities, and that has really motivated the Florida Department of Transportation and all of us to fix that. This is not a statistic we want to be number one in.
Yeah, and Jim, is this how this works out? Since we know with the standard streets and road network we have, since they have a ways to go to become bicycle friendly, if you have like parallel tracks that are much safer, does that help?
Well, that's true. And when projects are put in for transportation, we'll have bike and pedestrian facilities, bike lanes and sidewalks. But what we find is, you know, a lot of folks really like the separated path, the shared use path, the trail that would be separated from the roadway. So as I said on the front end of things, it's a critical strategy for us. And really, it just fits so well with our overall effort. We have a lot of initiatives for safety for the bike and pedestrian network in Florida. And so it's really important. I mean, a lot of people think of trails oftentimes as more of a recreational amenity, but we see them as so critical for transportation too. And ultimately that helps the network, the road network, if more people are choosing to maybe use these for some short trips. You know, some of the trails in the state have a relatively high use of non-recreational users out there just making trip from here to there. So that's important to us.
Well, this may be an unrelated topic, but our retiring morning edition guy, Ronald J. Eben, had brought this up in a conversation before, and that is east of Tallahassee along Interstate 10, he said that there was a mowed area parallel to the highway, and did that have anything to do with anything? He was just curious, as he always is, being a news guy.
I'm not sure if I know what mode area that is.
not along I-10. I don't know. I know there's some talk about along 90.
U.S. 90 in the panhandle.
That would
there's
make sense.
A lot of discussion there. But we do have along the Suncoast Parkway, there's a trail that was put in as part of that. So that's one that's along a limited access expressway. But we don't have any along any of the interstate system.
Yeah, and on that Suncoast Parkway, if you drive it, you'll see it off to the west as you're going south. It's off to your right. It's actually had a positive influence on property values. Generally, interstates or expressways don't impact property values negatively. But when they put that trail in on the west side, it saw an immediate rebound. People want to live next to trails, even if there's a highway on the other side of the trail. So this is good from just about every perspective we look at. And I think the health industry is our biggest partner these days in terms of all this. We're beginning to get a handle on our diet as Americans. We're realizing the importance of better eating habits, but we still haven't figured out a way to really get the kind of exercise we need in the outdoors. And trails are universal. I mean, they're there for everybody, low-income folks, everybody who wants to get out and walk the trail. And right now, I think the numbers on the St. Mark Trail are about more than half of the people are walkers. They're not the bicycles.
Well, and Tom, this is one of the reasons developers are focusing so much on these facilities being parts of new communities.
Yes.
Is a huge amenity. National Association of Home Builders has been saying this for years, that this is one of the top amenities that homeowners want. And as they develop these wellness communities and very health-focused, they are a big part of that. And then those developments can be connected into this larger network you talked about. It's kind of like a version of the interstate system, but for trails.
Yeah, so. One last plug, if I could. For these trails to really work, we've kind of preached the three S's. You know, with these trails have got to be safe. 9 out of every 10 households in Florida own a bike, but only 1 out of every 10 use them because they're fearful of the road. So these trails have got to be safe. If you pass that test, then the next thing is they've got to be scenic. They've got to be pleasant places to be, so that usually means shade and wildflowers and other art along the trails, things that really people attract people to it. And San Antonio has done a beautiful job of putting art along these trails. And then they got to take you to special places. So if we can connect the Coastal Trail now to downtown Panacea, to Wakulla Springs, Bald Point, the amount of use these trails are going to get is going to surprise everybody.
Well, even in the early days of the St. Mark's Trail, I recall, and again, playing in a band down at the late lamented Posies, since that was the end of the trail, people would come, especially the bikers, would come off of that trail just dripping in the spring and early fall. And there were cold beverages at Posies they would avail themselves of. Larry joins us on line one. Hey, Larry, welcome to Perspectives.
Hey, Tom.
Hey, how's it going?
I'm all right. Old, dirty, and tired.
Good to hear from you, Larry. What's up?
Well, I use a bike. That's my main mode of transportation, and I appreciate the effort that's going into the trails and stuff, but I'm really concerned and disappointed in the fact that this is being used. People refer to it now as like an incentive to attract more and more people to come into this community and the region. They're having much more of a negative impact on the ecosystem and some very rare ecological areas in this world. And I got a serious problem with that.
Boy, that's a great point, Larry. And how do we achieve that balance? Or is there a balance, guys, that we can talk about, whether it's from, Jack, your planning situation or design things that you're doing, John? Or how do we do that this it becomes a low-impact situation? You can't keep everybody out, but certainly you can do it in a way that is more compatible with the environment and the ecology.
Yeah, thanks for throwing that question at me. I think there's a lot of things that go on, and when you take a look at the studies, when we did the project development and environment study, we go out there and we look at what's going on in the corridor. We assess whether there's turtles out there. We look at see if there's flowers out there, and we'll wait till they come into bloom the next year to see if they're rare species. So there's a whole environmental process that goes on here, and even in Wakulla County, you have the sinks, and we have to be aware of the sinks that are underneath the ground so that when we're going over those sinks, we got to be very careful, and we're very careful about what goes on. So that whole environmental process addresses those issues. In terms of the impact, I think we have a little bit of a differing opinion on what impact is in economic development. I mean, I'm sure the county wants that, and folks, still want to maintain Wakulla County as it is. And I've had calls from folks about this trail, and I had one gentleman who told me, we're not going to have 500 people a year on that trail. There's no need to build that trail. So you have these opposing opinions, and we go through this process, the environmental process, and we build the trail to avoid these environmentally sensitive areas. And you could see that out on the Coastal Trail now where the construction is. You see these bridges being constructed. It's because they're environmentally sensitive areas. When we get down to the estuary part south of Panacea, we were going to boardwalk that, but we're going to do something different. We're going to sheet pile that so that we're not impacting more of an environmental issue with the introduction of a boardwalk in that corridor. So you have to assess these things as they move along, and even in a planning document, you really can't get a feel for everything that you're going to hit till you get and hit the ground out there and see what's going on. So, yeah, I understand there's concerns, but at the same time, I think the benefit in the long run, McCullough County will certainly enjoy.
Well, it looks like you got the last word on that one, Jack. We sure appreciate it. Norma, sorry we didn't get to your question here on perspectives, but what a great panel to Jack and Jim and Cherie and John and Dale. Of course, thank you all for coming in and talking about the excitement of the new coastal trail that is. And you send us an invitation there, Cherie. We will be down there for the ribbon snipping here coming up, hopefully, in June. And thank you all for coming on Perspectives today. We sure do appreciate
it. Thanks, Tom.
Perspectives produced by WFSU-FM in Tallahassee, and we had Taylor Cox running the board today, and we had Lydell Rawls taking care of the phones and the emails. And I'm Tom Flanagan. Next week, we trade in our hiking boots for ballet slippers. We got members of the Tallahassee Ballet coming in here. We're going to talk about their influence on our culture right here on Perspectives. Have a good week.
Copies of Perspectives are available by calling 1-800-829-8809. Log on to WFSU.org for online archives and podcast. Perspectives is a production of 88.9 WFSU-FM, Tallahassee.